I'm going to create a bridge from the last series, which was 2 Timothy, into a new series I'm going to kick into, which is in Deuteronomy. It's been a while since I've done something sort of in-depth Old Testament. I think maybe 2024 with Exodus or something like that. So we're going to do Deuteronomy. I want to start with an observation that just recently Meta, which was the company renamed, they were the ones behind Google, Facebook, and Google themselves as well, you know, responsible for all manner of social media, have been recently found guilty for intentionally making their social media platforms addictive, particularly to young people. And they kind of confessed to it as well. They said, yeah, we have done that. We've deliberately made these social media platforms addictive. And they used a range of design techniques to make that possible. And one is a vulnerability in us that they have exploited to create addiction. It's this universal thing known as FOMO. Anyone know what FOMO is? The fear of missing out. The fear of missing out. And we're social creatures, right? And we're bonded by what we share. And by shared experiences, shared values, shared stories. So if you're not there where the things are being shared, you're missing out. And your connection to others becomes weaker and you're no longer part of the social group. So that was a powerful lever that they've included in their technology, this fear of missing out that young people but also old people feel. It's not just that, though, is it? It's not just what are we missing out as far as the shared experiences. It's the fear that there's something better in life that we might have missed. Who wonders at times how life might have turned out if you'd chosen a different path at a crossroads in your life? Whether you studied something differently in high school, whether you took this job or that job. I was speaking to David Hulse in his final weeks, and he told me that he had an opportunity as a builder to have been involved in the Sydney Opera House project, one of the architectural wonders in the world these days. And as a builder to have said, I helped build that, would have been something, right? And I don't know that he regretted that decision to say no. He said no because he had responsibilities that mattered to him here, but he certainly reflected on it. This, did I miss out thing? Midlife crisis is a FOMO crisis. A sudden feeling you've fallen asleep at the wheel of your own life, and the dreams you dreamed of while young have faded away, and you begin to grieve, maybe even panic. And I don't know how women react, but for men, normally it's buying an impractical car. A sort of red two-seater with a long bonnet. Or a motorbike. However it hits you, it's a universal feeling. And the Bible is filled with it. The Bible is filled with it. So this morning I'm going to lightly introduce the new series in Deuteronomy, more by building a bridge between last series and this one. And I didn't plan the two series with this in mind. Seeing this strong connection kind of happened in more recent weeks, and it's because I saw it in the letter that I thought, actually, the connection's too rich not to do this talk. So we're going to build a bridge from Paul to Moses. The first plank is that fear of missing out. Because one thing we can say about this that is true of both texts. It's two great leaders at the end of their life working out how to pass on the baton to the next generation. They are some of the greatest leaders the world has ever seen, some of the greatest thinkers, some of the greatest humans we've ever produced. They shaped world history. Moses brought Israel out of slavery and brought down the law of God from the mountain. He's their nation builder. And Paul's influence is no less remarkable. It might be his influence is even greater because Paul brought the grace of God to the rest of the world, bringing us out of slavery and into God's freedom. The kingdom of God is now the church, expressed through the church. And with the exception of Jesus, Paul's role in establishing the church is perhaps unrivaled. Such people, like Paul and Moses, with their level of ability, normally come preloaded with a fair degree of ambition too. And they don't give up the reins easily. They have been the center for so long. And even if it's hard in that role, it's harder to give it up and let someone else take over. In 2 Timothy, we saw Paul doing his best to hand the mission on to his protege, Timothy, with grace. And in Deuteronomy, we find a man, Moses, struggling to do the same thing to the young man, Joshua. So that's the first plank that connects as a bridge between the two. Plank number two is laid down right beside it. We recognize that both are sets of instructions on the same theme: how to stay faithful no matter what. Moses feels this particularly keenly because a lack of faithfulness has cost him the last 40 years of his life wandering the desert waiting for people to die so he can move on. As we saw in Exodus, God gave him a task to lead the people from slavery in Egypt but to freedom in the promised land. That was the destination. And he got them out of Egypt, and he brought them right to the river's edge, the River Jordan, which was the border between the desert and this promised land, ready to cross over into delight and rest. But the people betrayed him. They sent in 12 spies to scout the land. Not itself a bad idea, but unfortunately, 10 of the 12 came back and said, "I don't think we should do this. The cities are too big. They are fortresses we cannot take over. And the warriors are giants. We should not do this." And so they didn't. They refused to go. And God lost his temper. Not for the first time in the story, because their lack of trust in him was also not for the first time. So he agreed with them. "You know what? You're right. You're not going to cross over into the promised land flowing with milk and honey that I have in store for you. Instead, Moses is going to lead you in a circle of the same small desert for the next 40 years until this generation's gone. And then I'll lead your children into the promised land." Poor Moses, because of their unfaithfulness, 40 years choking on dust when they could have been in the promised land. The story even grows sadder as we get into Deuteronomy, because during this long 40 years in which Moses too occasionally lost his temper, he did so at a point where in fact he disobeyed God, and God said, "Sorry, Moses, you're not going to enter either. You're not going to enter either." So he will die looking across the promised land. And he is speaking in Deuteronomy with an urgency to pass on the lessons of this faithless generation to the next one and say, "Don't repeat the same mistakes. Be faithful to God. He will be faithful to his promises." I've already done that in 2 Timothy, where Paul reminds Timothy over and again, "Your job is to faithfully represent Jesus. Worry less about anything else. Just make that your sole purpose." So we have two planks so far in our bridge from 2 Timothy to Deuteronomy. We have two men struggling to give up the leadership mantle, knowing their day is done, and two men profoundly aware of the urgency that the next generation will continue this faithful living. The third plank we're going to lay down: they are missing out. The FOMO is real. It's not just a fear, it's a reality. Both men are influenced by the knowledge they will die without seeing the true rewards of their faith. Paul dies cold under Roman imprisonment without his friends and companions. Moses dies looking across at the promised land, so close yet so far. You can look but don't touch. No wonder we fear missing out. Because even great men like Moses and Paul, who served God their whole lives, die missing out. This is the truth of it. All of us die having missed out. For all of us, growing up forces us to deal with our limits, with the disappointment of not getting everything that we want, not getting everything our way. And in fact, it's a mark of maturity, isn't it? Growing up is realizing we have limits and have to make hard choices between many things we want but can't have, either for lack of time, lack of resources, or too many commitments. It is wonderful to become a parent, and it is a long season of having many other good things denied to you. That is, if you want to be a good parent. We have a fear of missing out because we instinctively know that this is a reality that we would prefer otherwise. It seems a bit depressing and maybe even defeatist to say this, but I think this is why 2 Timothy and Deuteronomy are so useful to us. They deal in reality, not wishful thinking. If we want to find good instructions for the road ahead, the life laid before us, find instructions that deal in reality, they will be useful. Both texts are useful to us for these reasons. There's one last plank to lay down. And in this case, it's a plank that connects them, even though it's a very different experience for both of them. Both have based their lives on God's promise of rest, didn't they? Moses left Egypt with the vision set before him, the promised land flowing with milk and honey, where he could find rest. Paul did all that he did on the promise of resting in Christ. The fear of missing out can actually be a positive force. It can be a positive driver if we fear the right things. So what is the true heart to this fear? What is the fear beneath the fears, if you like? Well, there's a story we keep telling. It's about a longing for rest, to finally find a place we can be at peace. And when I say we keep telling it, even right now a new movie has come out, a blockbuster based on an ancient epic poem by Homer called The Odyssey. And the movie's literally called The Odyssey. It's not going to be hard to find if you're looking for it. And The Odyssey is a story of a man who had it all. He was a king of an island kingdom, and he left home seeking more. More glory, more honor, more excitement. And finding on that path that all he really wanted to do was get back home. Only to find that that home is harder to get to than he thought. It's easy to leave, harder to return to. And so the Odyssey is about the restlessness that drives us from home, only to then torture us with the realization we should never have left, and the painful realization it's very hard to get back. And the Bible tells that story first. The Bible got there before Homer. Our library of books opens with the story of humans rejecting the home that God had made for us to pursue our own glory. For our arrogance, we were kicked out of home and suffered a series of curses that we still feel today. The earth resists our attempts to work with it. It throws up weeds and diseases. Our children resist us as we try and raise them into adults. Our marriages suffer. The vision of two people coming as one flesh now has a tension within it, a power struggle that makes that relationship tense and fraught, even in the best. And nation fights nation, even though we are, when it comes down to it, just one big family. In other words, there is no rest, there is no peace, there is no home. We know this in our hearts, we feel this in our lives. That's why the promised land has such powerful appeal. God promises a home to rest in, a place where the cities are already built. Just come in and occupy them. Well, the orchards and the vineyards and the olive groves are already established. Just come in and harvest. No wonder Moses feels the pain of his death so keenly, because he believes that death has robbed him of his rest. No reward for his faith. Which is where Paul and Moses part ways. There's 1,500 years between them, and not only does Paul have the benefit of the lessons of history, but he also has the story of Christ. History reminds him, teaches him, that even though the people entered the promised land, they never found the promised rest. It always eluded them. Even under their best years of David and Solomon, it was still a tarnished rest. It was still war, and there was still people dying unfulfilled. Paul knows that. He's got the benefit of that history, and Paul knows Jesus. Paul knows all about the death and the resurrection. He knows how Jesus has defined faithfulness and how he has defined rest. He knows that the longed-for rest that we feel deep within us is not met by the dream home, by the best garden. It's met in and by God. Jesus came to give rest by calling us home to himself. And that was Paul's mission. It was exactly that. It's how he defined it, to call people back home to God. We've got big words like reconciliation and atonement, but they just mean the same thing. Come home, all is forgiven. It's what it means. It's the heart of Paul's gospel message. Come home, all is forgiven. So when Paul dies, he goes with joy and gratitude in his heart, because the resurrection of Jesus means the death is not the end. Through death, because of Christ now, we cross the river into the promised land, the true promised land. And the real river dividing us between the banks of the desert and the promised land is not the Jordan River, it's death, isn't it? Jesus crossed that river. And he came back to settle our hearts once and for all. And he made us a promise that sounds an awful lot like the promised land. I go to prepare a place for you. And if we can lay down four planks to connect Timothy and Deuteronomy, we actually need only two planks to connect us to our true home and our true hope of rest, and that is the cross. We cross over from death into life by the cross of Jesus. Two planks is all we need. And because death is a river we all face, that means that we all stand together on the banks of this river, together, with one thought in our heart and mind: how can I be ready to make that crossing? How do I prepare myself so that I could be assured I'm going to cross that bridge when the time comes? How can I be sure I will join Jesus in rest? I think a healthy fear of missing out, if that means missing out on what Christ has promised us, is a good thing. It's what drove Paul, even as it drove Moses, but without the understanding of what Jesus was going to bring. We should sit here with a healthy sense of, I don't want to miss out. It will mean you miss out on some things in this life. Absolutely. That is what faithfulness will ask of you, because you can't have two masters. You can't cross all the bridges. Which is the one that you cannot bear to miss out on? So, when we enter into the story of Deuteronomy, we will do so as a people with the people of Israel on the other side of the bank, waiting on this side for the day that we will cross, and hearing his instructions about what it looks like to be a faithful people, because it's still relevant to us today as it was 3,000 years ago. Same God, and we are the same people. Good news is, we have Jesus. We have Jesus. Hey, that was the last word in my talk too. Amen. Thanks, Jeff. You completed it for me. Let me pray.